May I speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer. Amen. Today is the last Sunday in the Sundays after Pentecost, the last Sunday of this liturgical year, and we commemorate today the feast of Christ the King. In the first chapter of the book of Genesis, God states, "Let us make humanity male and female in our own image." All well and good, you might think. But if we are made in the image of the unseen God, then we can only come to learn something about God through taking a good, hard look at ourselves. And the tricky question then is, which image of humanity is God a reflection of? Like a double-edged sword, the mirroring of divine and human images cuts both ways. We can deduce that God is loving, relational, collaborative, because we also possess these qualities. Yet we can equally imagine God as jealous, angry, with a propensity for violence and pursuit of the ends of power and control, because these are also very typical human characteristics. And the Bible's presentation of a shifting and changing image of God may in the end simply be the projections of our own conflicting images of ourselves. And on the final Sunday before the start of a new liturgical year on Advent Sunday, we commemorate Christ the King, begging the question, what kind of king? What kind of kingship is being imagined here? We have several images from the tradition, the first of which is Pantocrator. Christ as king, omnipotent ruler of all creation, often pictured in the concave half dome, typical in many Orthodox churches. And if you want to crane your neck and look at the great west window, you'll see in the central panel there an image of Christ Pantocrator, scepter and orb and crown. As Pantocrator, Christ is robed as an earthly king, with all the trappings of political power, and he is the paramount operative in a zero-sum equation of dominion through domination. Another image is the Christus Rex, an image depicted in the reredos of the St. Martin Chapel. Here Christ is robed not as a king, but as a high priest, whose resurrection life springs forward from the cross, which is now firmly behind him in the background. And both Pantocrator and Christus Rex sit in uneasy tension with the other enduring image of Christ reigning not from a throne or a gilded cross, but dying, nailed to a tree. And on the final Sunday of the year, we are celebrating a picture of the end time, when the Father will place all things in subjection under his Son, who will dutifully complete the Father's restoration of the divine dream for all of creation. Our images of power vie with our images of vulnerability. We project humanity's competing characteristics into the blank space, that is, the unseen God. And if we are fashioned in the image of an unseen creator, then we can only come to learn something about God through taking a good look at ourselves. And thus the tricky question remains, which of our many conflicting self-images do we want Christ as King to reflect? Interesting is an interesting word. What is interesting about the historical period that we are living through is that we live in a time when our culture rocks and reels and the tectonic plates shift unpredictably. Bringing to mind Newton's third law of motion, stating that counteracting forces always come in pairs, and the pendulum of history swings back and forth between order and chaos, between continuity and disruption, each vying for dominance. And the theological thrust for designating the final Sunday in the liturgical year to the kingship of Christ crystallizes the warring tensions within us, counteracting forces, finding expression in competing images of God. In 1925, Pope Pius XI proclaimed the Feast of Christ the King as an assertion of the Catholic Church's protest to the rise of fascist and communist authoritarianism. He chose the images of strength in asserting the equally authoritarian power of the Church as the only center of allegiance for Roman Catholics. And at considerable cost to liberty and freedom of thought, within the Church he marshaled the Catholic legions for battle against the forces in direct competition with the power of the Church. The historical context for the origins of the commemoration of Christ the King today sounds a tone that is both timely and problematic, as once again we're being called to face down a new resurgence of authoritarian forces. Pius XI drew on an old story of one authoritarian system asserting itself against competing equally authoritarian rivals. Strength pitted against strength. But for those of us who do not subscribe to the notion of an authoritarian church or even an authoritarian state, Christ the King is a very necessary reminder of the dangers of mistaking power for strength and vulnerability for weakness. Now, as human beings, we have very rich imaginations. But left to our own devices, our imaginations tend to recycle familiar image patterns. And consequently, we only tend to recognize what we are already preconditioned to look for. And in the pursuit of the deeper search for the spiritual and soul-filled connection that we all so long for, the challenge is to allow the boundaries of our imaginations to become more permeable, less strictly policed by our conventional selves, allowing something new to break in. And an example of the inbreaking of new insight might be that instead of the all too familiar counteracting pairing of strength with vulnerability, continuity with disruption, presenting them as polar opposites, we might imagine a new possibility of collaborating pairings, strength, not instead of vulnerability, but strength through vulnerability, with the forces of disruption seen not as destruction for continuity, but as a timely reshaping and revitalizing of the continuity in the longer term. And so, we are endowed with rich imaginations, but we are also what I call storied beings, meaning that we only ever have the stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves. Stories are one of the most effective ways through which the unfamiliar breaks in to disrupt the familiar patterns of recycled imagination. New spiritual insight breaks in through the medium of stories that change through shock and surprise. And parables are disruptive stories, which, like the needle on an old vinyl record, jumps tracks as it encounters a scratch in the surface, disrupting the familiar malady with all its expectation, suddenly jolting us into something new. And Matthew's Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats allows new spiritual insight to break in, disrupting our usual imaginings of Jesus' kingship. In this parable, Jesus presents kingship as service, strength through the embrace of vulnerability, the inbreaking of compassion, disrupting the more familiar continuities of the hardnesses of the human heart. And Matthew presents a picture of the end time, when the Son of Man will come in his glory to sit upon his throne. But this is not Jesus clothed in worldly power. What breaks into our imaginations through this story are the responsibilities of kingship being those of service, empathy, and concern for the least important and the least powerful, the least able among us. And justice is the hallmark of this image of kingship, in which Jesus echoes the prophet Ezekiel in our first lesson, who speaks of God as shepherd of the flock, seeking out the lost, bringing back the strayed, binding up the injured, and strengthening the weak, and feeding them with justice. And so we embrace the image of Christ the King, because at the heart of the gospel stands the iconic image of Jesus' royalty, not as one lifted high above us, decked in robes of kingly power, but as one who stoops to reach down to join us in the one nailed to the tree. Christ's kingship breaks open the strength or vulnerability, continuity or disruption polarities, with a new and revolutionary image of strength displayed in vulnerability of disruption as necessary for long-term continuity. You may remember that in many of the great depictions of the crucifixion, at the base of the cross, there are wedged three huge stones that hold the cross in place. These are the stones of strength through service, of strength in vulnerability, and of strength as the fruit of justice. And Christ's kingship extends over us to discomfort our search for easy answers and half-truths and superficial relationships, so that we may live more deeply from less fearful hearts. Christ's kingship extends over us to bless us with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of the helpless, so that we may work tirelessly in the course of freedom and peace. Not any kind of peace, but peace with justice. Christ's kingship extends over us to bless us with the tears that we shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, alienation, and the victimization of war, so that we may reach out our hand to comfort them by standing along with them together in their pain. And Christ's kingship extends over us to bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in this world, so that we can do what others claim cannot be done. Amen.